Please, Prasang, what's the first word? Satam Prasangam Amavirya Samvido Bhavanti Rikarna Rastayanam Kata Tajjoshavarashvava Varga Vartmani Shararatir Bhaktir Anukramishati. That in the association of devotees, what's the first word? Tat? Satam. Oh, okay. Satam. So in the association of the Satams, who have understood factually and practically about how to enliven others in Krishna consciousness, Satam Prasangam Mama Virya Sampido, if one hears about the glories of Krishna in such association, then the result is Satam Prasangam Mama Virya Sampido Bhavanti will gradually develop Bhavanti Rit Karna within the heart and within the ear. Bhavanti Rikarna Rasayanam Kata. This will act just like Rasayana, transcendental nectar, and enliven the devotee to engage in devotional service. And the result is Tajjoshavarashvavavarga-vartmani. All these misgivings, all this identification with our body, all this false ego will gradually be diminished. And Shraddha, real faith, Ratira, real attachment, and ultimately prema, or love for Krishna. Shraddharatira Bhaktira Anukramishati. They'll all naturally develop one after another. So thank you very much for your kind attention. They told me to speak so long. So I was afraid not to do it. Although generally I never speak so long. Because I usually figure after 20 minutes I've said enough. But by your kind mercy, I was able to speak so long. Sorry for...
Raj, we were discussing the Bhagavad, Madhyamadikara, Majjhima Bhagavad, like that. And also the question came up why Prabhupada called Chandrasekhar and Tapan Mishra
Kanishadikari.
If you could explain
well,
that.
Well, Prabhupada very specifically says in the purport that when faced with the Mayavadis, they didn't know how to defeat them. Therefore, although they were associates of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, because of the lack of transcendental knowledge, they were considered to be Kanishta Adhikars. Of course, they may have been, undoubtedly they were more elevated than that. But the symptom of a Kanishta Adhikari is that although he has faith in the process, he doesn't know about the scriptures. And because they didn't know sufficiently about the scriptures to deal with the Mayavadis, Prabhupada labeled them as Kanistas. Madhyamas can discriminate. They have not scriptural knowledge. They have spiritual vision coming from the scriptures. Therefore, they were able to present Krishna consciousness to others. Well, Kanistas can't do that because of lack of training and lack of scriptural knowledge. Is that clear? Anything else?
Maharaj, when we chant the holy name of Lord, sometimes or most of the time, it's very difficult to concentrate on the chanting, but sometimes mind goes here and there. Now today, in your class, you said, in that time when you are discussing about Nistha, that we should try to remember past time. Or you said that some Krishna, we should concentrate on ditti form or something like that. So how we can understand this point? Because usually we have been told up till now that we should only hear the chanting of the holy name of Lord, and at that time we should not concentrate on anything else, but we have not reached to that stage and we think something else, then we bring our mind sometimes back again on chanting, again it goes somewhere else. So how to reach to the stage by which we can concentrate on the past time or concentrate on Krishna?
Well, first we should thank you for the question. One time I wrote to Srila Prabhupada, I was asking Srila Prabhupada, can I remember Krishna's pastimes when I'm chanting the holy name? And Prabhupada wrote back to me, he said, no. He said, you should just chant and hear But if Krishna's pastimes come spontaneously, that is very nice. So before we can remember Krishna's pastimes, first of all, we should try to remember Krishna's form. So this trying to remember Krishna's form is not something artificially. It depends upon, one thing is the quality of our chanting. So, if we chant attentively, pronounce the words properly, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. So that's the first stage, is just to chant attentively. Attentive chanting is not enough, though. We also have to chant with some feeling, because this process is called bhakti, and bhakti means devotion, and devotion means feeling. Of course, that feeling is based upon the sentiment of service, of trying to please Krishna. So what will please Krishna is, first of all, to chant attentively. Sometimes we hear the devotees chanting another mantra. I'm sure you've heard this. Shnik shnik ram ram, day 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 day. Hey kitty kitty, hey kitty kitty, hey kitty kitty. Shnik shnik ram ram, day 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 day. Hey kitty kitty, hey kitty kitty. So, with this mantra, you may remember your favorite cat. But it's very unlikely to remember the form of Krishna. So we should chant the Hare Krishna mantra. And then, we should not only chant it mechanically, just like sometimes the devotees go, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. I remember some devotees, when the movement was younger, they'd be chanting, but they were a little tired, so they hit their head against the wall. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna. So this type of feeling is not the topmost devotion. Or sometimes we find the devotees are in distress and they're chanting and they go, Hare Krishna, I'm the most fallen. Hare Ram, I'm so fallen. Hare Krishna, oh, this is terrible. I'm suffering like anything. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna. Oh, how Krishna is thinking I'm a great devotee because I'm suffering so much. Surely he'll give me his mercy. No, one should try to chant lovingly, some feelingly. Prabhupada said in the original, one of the original albums he put out, that just like a child calling for his mother. So a child is innocent, it is simply out of love that he's calling for his mother, out of feeling of separation. So if we chant, if we believe in Krishna, and we believe that Krishna and his name are non-different, then we can chant to Krishna and to Srimati Radharani, and we can chant to them, trying to be like a child, out of love, calling for his father and mother. So the more joyfully and lovingly we can chant, then spontaneously we'll remember Krishna's form, because we'll be chanting to someone. As soon as we accept that Krishna is a person, we accept that the deity and Krishna are non-different, or that the picture of Krishna is non-different from Krishna, or the philosophy about Krishna is non-different from Krishna, the words of the Srimad Bhagavatam, Bhagavad Gita, are non-different from Krishna, then when we chant in that way, then naturally we'll remember Krishna. Just like at the end of the Bhagavad Gita, Sanjaya said, Rajan samsmritya samsmritya samvadam imam adbhutam keshvarjana punyam rishami cha muhur mahu. Remembering this wonderful conversation between Krishna and Arjuna, I'm taking pleasure and being thrilled at every moment. Tatscha samsmritya samsmritya rupam adya bhutam hare vishmayo me maharajan rishami cha punak punak. Remembering as well the wonderful form of Krishna, I'm becoming even more struck with wonder, and thus I rejoice again and again. So if we chant feelingly, we think about Krishna feelingly, with love and devotion, the result is that automatically, spontaneously, we'll remember Krishna's form. Or as Prabhupada has also told us, that if we think that my spiritual master, or Krishna, he's asked me to do this through my spiritual master, this chanting of Hare Krishna, and I'm doing it just to please him, then Prabhupada said automatically, naturally, we'll remember Krishna. And that this is perfect Krishna consciousness. So it requires attention, the use of our intelligence, and also the use of our heart to feelingly chant to Krishna. And if we do that, then spontaneously, Tadami Buddha Yogam Tam, Krishna will reveal himself to us, and we'll go to Krishna, we'll associate with Krishna more and more intimately. Yes? Anyone else? Do we have a hand up here? Someone can pass the microphone around.
Maharaj.
Okay.
Maharaj, we were talking about service to the spiritual master. But sometimes what happens is that when there are many disciples, each one is very eager to serve the spiritual master. So it becomes a sort of competition. In such circumstances, Maharaj, what should be our mood of service?
We don't know what spiritual master means. Therefore, we have these difficulties. We are thinking, because someone has given me the mantra, Diksha, therefore he's my only spiritual master. But that's not what spiritual master means. Spiritual master means one who's there are three types of spiritual masters. The Diksha Guru, the Shiksha Guru, and the Vartma Pradakshika Guru. So they're all spiritual masters, one who introduces me to devotional life, known as Vartma Pradakshika Guru, one who's given me instructions, Shiksha, one who's given me initiation into the mantras, Diksha. So they're all my Guru. The Vaishnavas in the second class one on the second class platform, he sees all the Vaishnavas as representatives of Krishna, and he reciprocates according to their level of advancement. So we can take anyone who's advanced in devotional service and who's glorifying Krishna and who loves the devotees and doesn't unnecessarily criticize just to find fault, we can take them as guru. And if we engage in their service appropriately in those six loving exchanges, then we'll make spiritual advancement. And if we think that only my Diksha Guru, the only one who's given me Diksha is my Guru, and everyone else is something else, then I won't make any advancement, or very little advancement. Because second-class devotee means to advance, or third-class, taking initiation, is to help me advance to the second-class platform, by which I'll be able to properly appreciate all the Vaishnavas, and reciprocate with them accordingly. But if someone is giving me an example, someone is giving me transcendental knowledge, and I don't appreciate, and I don't serve their instructions, due to lack of faith and understanding, then my devotional service will be checked, and I'll always remain on the third class platform. And especially in ISKCON, Srila Prabhupada has created a society, not a group of Diksha Gurus. He's created a society where everyone should work cooperatively. Therefore, Prabhupada said, your love for me will be shown by how you cooperate to keep this movement together after my disappearance. So that cooperation, this is in the mood of everyone acting as a servant. That no one should consider themselves a master. Everyone should consider themselves a servant of the movement. And therefore, we call each other Prabhu. Prabhu doesn't mean that I am your master and you are my, or just like they say, this is the process of give and take. you give to me and I take from you. Not that, yes, I am Prabhu. I am everyone's Prabhu. This is a very nice movement. Everyone is calling me Prabhu, master. So this is very nice. I always wanted to come to a society where I'd be the master. No, we should think that everyone is my Prabhu and I'm everyone else's servant. And therefore, the movement is created in such a way, or it should be created in such a way, is that everyone develops that service attitude. And that proper discrimination by which those who are new to Krishna consciousness or not very advanced, one can respect them within the mind. To those who are following and trying to advance further in devotional service, then one should cooperate with them and offer them obeisances. And those who are more advanced, those who are consistently engaged in devotional service and who can explain how I can develop my love for Krishna and the devotees, then I should follow their instructions to come to that platform too. Just like gold, whether a Christian has gold, or a Muslim has gold, or a Hindu has gold, gold is gold. If a Christian is offering you gold, you don't say, well, no, this is Christian gold. No, gold is everyone's gold. It's the same for everyone. So similarly, the knowledge of Krishna consciousness, the philosophy of Krishna consciousness, the practical examples of Krishna consciousness, that I should reciprocate according to the level of advancement that a devotee has, not according to some formality, some idea I have within my mind.
Yes.
Maharaj, in the lecture, you discussed about false pride, and we have heard about false ego also a lot of times. So I want to know, is there anything called just plain ego, or is there any pure form of ego in the spiritual world or something like that? Why we have to attach the word false to ego every time?
Well, around here you do, at least in the material world, because most people, that's what they have, is a false ego. But false ego implies that there's a real ego. Krishnara Nityadas. Our real ego is I'm simply Krishna's servant. That is real ego. And one who's engaged in Krishna's service, then he can gradually realize his factual identity. And the process is the process of devotional service. Just like at night, we may dream, as I mentioned yesterday, we may dream that we're very wealthy or successful, and then we wake up and now we have our present dream. So this is also a dream. That's why it's called false ego. But we have a real identity, and that can be awakened by the process of devotional service. Srila Prabhupada wrote to me in my initiation letter, because I was initiated by mail. He said, you are right that we are all trapped, conditioned souls, and now Krishna is giving you an opportunity to awaken your Krishna consciousness just by chanting, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Ram Rama, Hare Hare. So that is our ego. I am Krishna's servant, and that's all I am. So I should find out what Krishna wants me to do, and I should do that to please him, and then we'll remember Krishna, and in the presence of Krishna, everything will be revealed. Anything else? Wherever the microphone is. Okay.
Hare Krishna. Maharaj, you compared Krishna consciousness to action in mode of goodness, which is poison in the beginning and nectar at the end. But Krishna consciousness being a transcendental process, how can it be compared to action in mode of goodness?
Well, first we have to come to the mode of goodness before we can come to transcendence. Just like if you want to take an airplane, first you have to go to the airport. If you decide, why should I bother going to the airport? I'll catch the plane from the roof of my house. No, first one goes to the airport, and then there is some possibility of catching the airplane. Of course, just going to the airport is not enough. One has to also get into the airplane. So similarly, the mode of goodness is the platform by which one comes to transcendence, or Shuddha Sattva. And that process is, as explained, that one has to tolerate, or as Krishna says, kama krodha vimuktaistu vishan indri, no. Kama krodha vimuktanam yatinam yatichetasam avito brahma nirvanam vartate viditatmanam. So those who are free from all material desires, or kama krodha vimuktanam, those who are free from anger and all material desires, kama krodha vimuktanam yatinam yatichetasam, who are meditating upon the Supreme Lord within the heart, abhito brahma nirvanam, who have come to the platform of Brahman, attain transcendence, vartate viditatmana. So we have to become free from anger, this frustration. We have to become free from lust, the desire to lord it over the material nature, the frustration of our inability to do so. And when we become free from those two things, we can come to goodness, and then one can actually concentrate the mind upon Krishna. If one doesn't come to the mode of goodness, then the mind will always be dragged, the mind's thoughts about Krishna will always be dragged away by material desires and thoughts. As a boat on the water is swept away by a strong wind, even one of the roaming senses in which the mind becomes fixed can carry away a man's intelligence. Indriyani icharatam yanmano nuvidiyate tadasya harati pragya vayor navami vambasi. Anything else?
Maharaj, you told that one should chant with concentration and some feelings, but we can't have feelings artificially. So how one can develop that feelings?
Shrinvatam swakata krishna punya shravanam kirtana ridyantakstau hivajani vidunoti saritsatam nashta prayeshvabhadreshu nityam bhagavata sevaya bhagavati utamashloke bhaktir bhavati naishtiki. So, regular attendance in the Bhagavatam class, and by hearing from the devotees, all that's inauspicious within the heart becomes destroyed almost nil. And thus, loving service to the Supreme Lord is awakened. So hearing about Krishna regularly, hearing from the devotees, hearing in the association of devotees, this will develop our attraction to Krishna. Because Krishna is all attractive, and the message about Krishna is non-different from Krishna. So if we hear about Krishna with the right attitude from the right source, then gradually our attraction for Krishna will be awakened. Nitya siddha Krishna prema sadhu kavanoi shravanadi shudachite koraye udai. This love for Krishna, this attraction for Krishna is natural. And if we simply hear and we try to assimilate the knowledge and then we try to apply it within our lives the best we can, then gradually Krishna will help us purify our heart. And the result is that our awareness of Krishna will increase and will naturally become attracted to Krishna. Whoever has the microphone is... Okay.
Maharaj, our Sampradaya, Brahma Madhva, Gaudiya Sampradaya, this stresses very much against impersonalism. So how is it possible that initiated disciple of such an exalted spiritual master, Madhavendra Puri, that is Ramchandra Puri, could present impersonalist ideas?
How is it possible? Well, generally, those who come to devotional service are not pure devotees. It is said, Chatura vida bhajante imam jana sukritira arjuna arta jignasi aratarati jnani cha bharatarshiva. Four kinds of pious men begin to render devotional service to me. So generally people come out of distress. This is known as artha. They have some distress and therefore they approach the process. They may fall for some time, but because they have some hidden motivation, whether it be distress or desiring some security, some economic advancement, therefore when they're Krishna, out of his kindness, he satisfies their desire, therefore they become disinterested in the process of devotional service. But if one is able to advance further, then he comes to the platform of Jignasu. Or sometimes people come out of Jignasu, they're inquisitive. Or some people come because they're jnanis. So generally those who are jnanis, Krishna says, tesham jnani nityukta eka bhakti vishishati priyo hi jnanino yartam aham sacha mama priyaha. Therefore the jnani, generally, his basic reason for approaching Krishna is that of love. But sometimes one may approach Krishna and he may have some impersonalist understanding of Krishna. Just like there are many Mayavadis, they also chant Hare Krishna. But their basic conception is that one day they'll become Krishna. So this is very possible. Many varieties of people may approach devotional service, just like one time Raghunath Bhat. He was going, after leaving the association of his parents, they had left their bodies, he went to join Chaitanya Mahaprabhu at Jagannath Puri. So on the way to Jagannath Puri, he was associating with one devotee, his name was Ramdas. So Ramdas, he was constantly chanting, Ram, 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 all day long, and rendering service to Raghunath Bhat. Although Raghunath Bhat Goswami did not desire such service, but still Ram Das was always rendering him service because he was a Brahmin. When they arrived at Jagannath Puri, Ram Das was continuously chanting Ram, 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 or maybe it was Hari Ram, Ram, Ram. So he was always chanting the name of Ram. When Raghunath Bhat Goswami saw Chaitanya Mahaprabhu immediately embraced him with great ecstasy and love. But when he saw Ram Das, he did not give him any special consideration, because he knew that Ram Das was thinking that he was Ram. Although he was constantly chanting the name of Ram, the idea was that he thought he was going to become Ram. So sometimes impersonalists may even take to the process of devotional service, but the idea is that they have some impersonal goal rather than Krishna consciousness as their goal. One time I met one girl at the airport. I was distributing books, and she said, "Oh, this book is about Krishna. Oh, how nice." She said, "I have a deity of Krishna, and I worship him every day. And one day, I'll realize that I'm Krishna." So this is not uncommon. Matter of fact, most people walking around think they're Krishna. So sometimes such people, they take to devotional service. And of course, if one is in the association of devotees, then naturally the devotees will try to remind one that one is not Krishna. But sometimes people stubbornly maintain this understanding and this attitude. Anything else?
Maharaj, how do we see the spiritual master not from the material, his activities, not from material point of view, you mentioned?
Dushtai svabhava janiter vapushas tridoshar na prakritam bhakta janasya pashyat gangam basam na kalu buddha buddha pena pankar Brahmadravatam avikachati niradharmai. So the example is given, just like the Ganges water during the rainy season is full of bubbles, foam, and mud. But those who are advanced in spiritual knowledge, they don't hesitate to bathe in the Ganges despite the seemingly contamination of the water. So the bodily defects of a devotee, whether he's infirmed or has a diseased body, whatever, old body. These should not be considered. What should be considered is how the devotee is engaged in devotional service. So we have to train our eyes. This is called Utkramantam Sitim Vapi Bunjana Vagunan Vita Vimudonana Pashanti Pashanti Jnana Chakshusha. The foolish, they cannot understand how the living entity quits his body or what kind of body he enjoys under the spell of the modes of nature. But those whose eyes are trained with knowledge can see all this clearly. So we should examine ourselves and see whether I'm foolish or not. If I'm identifying myself with this body, if I don't understand what my next body was going to be, then I should understand that I'm a fool. And as a fool, I should try to find out someone with knowledge. So if they have knowledge about who I am and how I can realize who I am, and if they themselves are following the process to realize, setting the example, then I can accept these persons as intelligent. And if I'm trained to see through that vision, then I can jnana chakshus. I can obtain some jnana chakshus, transcendental knowledge. Kshetra kshetraya jnanam andhra jnana chakshusha bhuta prakriti moksham cha ye vidura yanti te param. So the one who can understand by scriptural knowledge the difference between the owner of the body and the body, and understand the process of liberation from this material body, he can obtain the supreme transcendental destination. Kshetra kshetraya jnanam andhra jnana chakshusha chakshusha. So we get the eyes through hearing. So we hear from persons who are advanced, who can explain things to us, and who are also practicing what they're preaching. Then we can understand that this person, no matter what his body is, he's understood something. So that takes submissive hearing. And also, if I hear it in such a way, and I've understood something, if I apply it within my life, and I become enlivened and enlightened in devotional service, then I can understand that this person is giving me something valuable. This is called faith. This is how faith develops. By hearing, and then by practicing, becoming enlivened and enlightened, and therefore we know it works. Yes.
Maharaj, third offense you mentioned that feeling that ultimately everything is meaningless. So how we practically experience this, that we feel everything is meaningless? Are there two anarthas? Are
you have no idea? You have no idea what it's like to feel that everything is meaningless? You want to practice that?
No.
I don't understand.
Like two anarthas you mentioned is, one is body consciousness.
Yes. Right?
And the second is reluctance to devotional service.
Yeah. Then well, void philosophy.
But what is this third?
What is this?
Feeling ultimately everything is meaningless.
Yes, most people in the material world nowadays think that everything is ultimately meaningless. That when you're dead, you're dead. When you're dead, there is no soul, there is no God. Ultimately, everything is void. That when I die, it's the end of everything. Asatyam apratishtam te jagato huranishvaram aparashparam sambhutyam They say that this world is unreal, it has no foundation, it has no God in control, it has produced a sex desire, and has no other cause than lust. Etam drishtim avashtavya nashtatmano nabudaya pravant yugra karamana shaye jagato hita. Following such conclusions and loss of themselves, the demoniac who have no intelligence create horrible, unbeneficial works which are meant to destroy the world. So you can say most people don't believe in God, they don't believe in the soul, they don't believe in the law of karma, they believe in only immediate gratification of the senses. And therefore they try in so many different ways to gratify their senses, and they find out that their senses never become gratified, and simply the problems are increasing. So therefore they think everything is ultimately meaningless.
This is not in spiritual circles. This is not in spiritual realm.
void is no, there's nothing. It's not, it's nowhere. Anything else? Yes.
Well, we are coming to an end of the question answer, so I had one last question.
The final question. What is the duty of a person who is about to die?
Theoretically, I know that. The thing is, what is your practical suggestion or some tips for regular reading, maintaining a regular reading schedule and to memorize verses with the translation? Some practical tips you can give. How can we do
that? That's a whole class. The most practical thing is sit down with a book and look at it. And start reading it word by word, and then question yourself, what have I understood? And then when you find out you've understood nothing, go back and read it again. And then question yourself again the second time, what have I understood? And if you find out you've understood nothing, go back and read it again. So, after some time, then we'll realize Krishna will give us the intelligence. We'll pray to him, please, I'm spending so much time here trying to understand something. Please, Krishna, let me understand something. And then gradually we'll understand that the way of learning anything, especially Krishna's books, is all by the mercy of Krishna. That we have to pray to him to help us understand something. So Krishna is speaking to us through these scriptures. Srila Prabhupada is speaking to us through his books. So we should pray to them. And we should read the books and pray to them for the understanding what's in them. And as they give us the intelligence, then the remembrance and the knowledge will be there, and our forgetfulness will go away. So thank you very much. Grantara Srimad Bhagavatam Ki Jai. Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. Gaur Premanande Haribol.